Okay, let me read in verse 14. These verses should just ring in your head, and you'll remember everything that we've been talking about for several weeks. But 1 Corinthians, if I've been saying it backwards, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And I'll just stop right there. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do pray today as we focus in on your scripture that you will give us the discernment that these verses talk about, that we might grow if we need the milk, that it might be there to help us to grow by, and that there be meat there for those who are able to take it in and see some of the deeper things of the Christian life. But Father, we pray that you'd minister your word to our hearts to cause its transforming power to form Christ in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We talked several weeks ago looking at this passage, and the first thing that we looked at, kind of understanding man, understanding ourselves, is the fact that there is in the world just two types of people. We say it this way: saved and lost. We could say on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. But really, the Bible would say it another way. It would say those in Adam and those in Christ. Amen. We're all born in Adam. We're genetically all connected. We all go back to the same father, and that is Adam. But then from Adam, there comes a time in life in which we have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ, to realize that in Adam, all sin. And we have our sin nature because of Adam, and all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And Jesus Christ came into this world as the second Adam. And he came and he lived a victorious life, a sinless life. And he went to the cross and he died on the cross. And because he was sinless, it wasn't his sins that he was paying for. Amen. On that cross, he bore our sins. It was him or you. And he bore your sins. And he paid the penalty of your sins so that you can receive the gift of eternal life that God the Father desires you to have. He sent his son because he loves you, even though you failed him, even though you're unlovely sometimes in your actions. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ paid for our sins, and God's gift to you is eternal life, but it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you believe that Jesus Christ hung on that cross and died as the payment for your sins, so that you can be reconciled to God the Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through his resurrection, and you trust that payment to be the payment God sent his son to pay, your sins, then God saves you through faith. It's his gift that you receive by believing on his son, and then you have everlasting life. And the moment you believe, you're taken out of Adam and you're placed into Christ. Amen. So that everyone in this world is either in Adam or they're in Christ. And once you're in Christ, you're no longer in Adam. You're in Christ and united with him in life. But so there's those two types of two kinds of people in the world. But then from there, we started looking at this a little closer and realizing that the same passage of Scripture tells us there's three types of Christians. You have this expression that you have in chapter 3 here, where Paul starts saying, Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There's all three types of Christian. There are those who can be labeled spiritual. The Corinthians weren't among them. He said, Paul said, I couldn't write to you as spiritual. But they're not babes. He said, I had to treat you in a different way. I had to treat you as if you're a babe, but he says, you're not a babe. A babe is just a new believer in Christ. who is now born into God's family and united to God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and has just now entered into a new life. And he is a babe in Christ. And certainly a babe in Christ can't be taught the deeper things of God's Word. He needs the milk of God's Word. But see, the Corinthians were neither babes nor were they spiritual. He addresses them as carnal. Carnal meaning fleshly. The expression of that, verse 3 says, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Those envy, strife, and divisions happens when people walk in the flesh. So Paul says, obviously you're carnal. He doesn't say you're lost. He doesn't say you're back in Adam. He doesn't say that at all. He just says you're carnal. You're walking in the flesh. But look what he says. There's envying, strife, and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? They're living their life, walking through life, just like they were in Adam. Just like lost people do. Believers living just like lost people. And the reason they're living just like lost people is because they haven't grown in God's Word. They haven't taken in, Paul's fed them with milk, but they haven't digested that milk. They haven't grown by that milk where now they're able to take the next step of growth and start feeding on the meat of God's Word. Paul's got to still give them milk because they keep spitting it up. And they're not digesting it. But they're still saved. But they're a classification called carnal, and that's someone who acts just like a babe, because he probably has the spiritual mentality of a babe, but he's carnal because he's been saved, as we looked last time, these people have been saved more than a half a dozen years. And they're still acting like babies, not taking in God's Word and growing by it. So Paul had to treat them that way. So we looked and realized there are these three types. We've talked about a babe. We've talked about what it meant to be carnal. This is really meat of God's Word, although it's really the problem that they're carnal. There's this envying, division, and strife. Verse 4 says, For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Look back at chapter 1. It says in verse 11, it says, For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there is contentions among you. So Paul's got first-hand warning, even tells you who the witness is, that there's all kinds of contention going on in this local assembly. He says in verse 12, Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Now there's the divisions that there. It's not just Paul and Apollos that when you get over in chapter 3, but it's actually a group of people. They're all divided up, and they're divided up over personalities. This is really just a quick review in case you didn't catch this last time. But what we went through and realized that these people are carnal because they're just wrapped up in personalities, looking at people rather than looking at revelation. And what Paul has to be real careful to do, he tells them in chapter 4, be followers of me. Forget Peter, forget Apollos, forget the earthly teaching of Jesus Christ, because there's been a revelation of the mystery about Christ that for you Gentiles. If he said that in chapter 1, all it would be is a personality clash. He says, forget them, follow me. But what he does between chapter 1 and chapter 4 is get their eyes off a man and realize that God has given a word, and that the Word is what's going to make you spiritual, and then he's got the Word to the Gentiles, therefore follow him. But in making that point, these people are carnal, and there's divisions among them because they were following personalities rather than understanding where their doctrine comes from for the age of grace, who their apostle is in the age of grace. Now that's, if you look real close, you have to look at that, because in chapter 1 he says you got all these divisions. In chapter 4 he says follow me. And he accomplished something in those four chapters to get their mind off of people and to the revelation of God's Word and where their revelation is found in Paul's epistles. Now if you don't understand that, you know what you are? You're carnal. If you've been saved a long time and you don't know where in this Bible you find your doctrine for the age of grace, then you're carnal. You won't know how to be established in the faith. In fact, come over to Hebrews chapter 5. Now, it's funny because this section of the book of Hebrews is actually saying of the Hebrew saints the same thing that Paul said to the Corinthian saints. Their doctrine is different. Boy, that's for sure. But notice what it says here and learn the application of it. Hebrews chapter 5, I think we looked at it last week talking about discernment, but chapter 5, verse 11, we'll start at. Hebrews 5, verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say, and that is to speak about Christ and the fulfillment of the typology of how he's after the order of Melchizedek and what all that means. It has to do with the priestly ministry of Christ. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Now, it's not hard to say it, but the reason it's hard to say is if you got people that are dull of hearing, it's hard to say, hey, hear me?
Oh, what'd you say?
They're dull of hearing. They can't hear. Paul is saying it, but they can't hear it. Now, why are they dull of hearing? Verse 12, for the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, these people, now take, that's the nation of Israel, and that's the believing remnant of Israel that Luke, the writer of Hebrews, has something to say to them, but they're dull of hearing. The reason they're dull of hearing is he's actually got to take Jewish people and teach them the Old Testament. He's got to talk about Melchizedek, and he's got to talk about all the typology. Then after he teaches that typology, he's got to say, see, Jesus Christ came to fulfill all that. He's the reality of all that. Then once they get that, then he's got to say, now he became the reality of that because what he's going to do with Israel in the future. See, the book of Hebrews is all about the kingdom that's going to come to this earth that Jesus Christ came to fulfill, and his cross made the provision of it. His second coming is going to bring it about. But these people, this writer can't talk about all the fulfillment that's coming in the future. He's got to take them back and tell them the Old Testament stories, show them how Christ is the fulfillment of that, and then bring them into the meat of God's Word. But he's got to go back and tell them the basic things. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Now watch how you become full age, will you? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Someone who's full age is a mature person. They know the Old Testament stories for the Hebrew people. They know the Old Testament stories. They've got it now. Oh yeah, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything that was promised in the Old Testament. Therefore, here's what he is able to bring to this earth and accomplish through the nation of Israel that he promised. But for them to get that sense, that discernment, they have to be able to have those other pieces put together already, don't they? I'm not going to take you there, but you know, you need to read first Romans chapter 16, verse 25 in this regard, because that's the Hebrew people. You don't get established that way. You don't go back to the Old Testament, find out what was said there, and then understand how Christ is the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament and what God's going to bring to this earth. In the age of grace, God's doing something totally different that was never revealed in the Old Testament. But you need to find out what that is, and you're going to find out about it by reading Paul's epistles. Then when you read Paul's epistles, you understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is according the revelation of Jesus Christ according to the mystery, what God's hidden purpose in Christ was, not the prophetic purpose, a hidden purpose in Christ that the mystery reveals. And then you'll be able to discern and understand God's purpose for us in the heavenly places. But if you don't even know who your apostle is, do you realize why they're yet carnal? See, in Romans 16:25, Paul says, now unto him that's able to establish you, number one, according to my gospel. You got to get the gospel of your salvation, that it's by grace. You're not saved into the kingdom. You're saved for a calling of God in grace, and you need to understand how God saved you by grace, sustained you by grace, and understand what grace is all about. People don't even get the gospel. This passage in Corinthians, by the way, flip back there if you've not already done that. This passage in Corinthians, there are people who say, well, if you walk like a man, if you act like an unsaved man, then you lose your salvation. Well, Israel was promised a salvation in the future, and until that came, they could lose it. in grace, you can't lose the salvation God gives you. You didn't deserve it in the first place. He gave it to you the moment you believed, and He's not going to lose you because He's going to be faithful to His promise. But you see, people won't be established if they first don't know the gospel of grace. Paul said, now unto him that's able to establish you, number one, the first principles of the oracles of God in grace is the gospel. Understand what the gospel of grace is. Then, too, he says, in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. That's the second thing that will establish you when you understand that God had another purpose in Christ coming and dying on the cross for your sins. And then it says, and by the scriptures of the prophets that are given unto all to make us wise. Anyhow, the scriptures of the prophets, I'll stop there. That's the third thing. Once you understand the gospel and are grounded in the gospel, you understand the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, now you can go, and I believe that the scripture of the prophets is actually Paul's revelation preserved for us in the Bible, that you can glean from Paul's word all that God has for us, what His eternal purpose for us is. But those same three things is what establishes us. Now, where I want to go with this now is we've already established then, hopefully you understand what it means, a babe, just a new believer, doesn't have enough of God's Word to live his life by. He needs fed the milk of God's Word so he can start learning and gaining discernment between right and wrong, what God would have him to do and know and believe and act. Then there's a carnal Christian who needs to realize he needs to grow up, start digesting that milk, and then start chewing on some meat to find out a little bit more of what God has for us and to live the way that God would have us to live. Then once you get past the carnal, you come to a place, and that's the goal of the Christian life, is to be spiritual. And spiritual is the one who has spiritual discernment from God's Word to know what God is accomplishing. At first is know where your doctrine is, then know what that doctrine is, and then know how to live that doctrine, apply it in the life that God has given us here, knowing there's an eternal purpose as well. Now, that's spiritual. Now, from that, once you understand there's three types of Christian, I want to talk to you about three obstacles, three hindrances to spirituality. How come all believers aren't spiritual? In fact, if some people don't stop and realize that there is such thing as carnal Christians, and a carnal Christian is one that looks like a lost person, acts like a lost person, most of Christianity falls in that category. Now, that's sad, but it's true. Most of Christianity is there. And for some people to think there's no such thing as carnal Christians, that you only got to be spiritual and that's a true Christian and everyone else is a non-believer, they're cutting out most of the body of Christ. But my point is, if you understand what hinders spirituality, then maybe you won't let it hinder your life. So let's look at some verses. Come to Romans chapter 8. Now, another time we'll look real close at Romans 6, 7, and 8, but just some things that are said here. In verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that condemnation is not condemnation from God in the sense that you're going to be condemned with the world. We studied last week, just taking communion, realized that Paul condemned the Corinthians for how they were even fellowshipping together at the Lord's Supper, and he condemned them for it. There is condemnation. The point is, there is condemnation when you walk in the flesh. In fact, if you look down at verse 13, if this is not condemnation, I don't know what is. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. So we're not talking about eternal damnation from God, but the results of living in the flesh is death and destruction in your life. Living in the flesh, to walk after the flesh, is condemnation and brings condemnation to your life. And so one of the points, the first thing about that is to realize that the first obstacle to spirituality is walking after the flesh or walking after the things of the flesh. Now, not only is it walking after the flesh, that's what the Corinthians, they're carnal, they're just living as men. To walk after the flesh is going to hinder you from being spiritual. But verse 5 kind of explains why it is a person does walk after the flesh. It says in verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, if they that walk after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, they think about and they certainly obey what the flesh is compelling them to do, then they that are spiritual, it just seems, leave it blank. It says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The implication is they mind the things of the Spirit. They think about and obey the things of the Spirit. Where do you find the things of the Spirit? Yeah, we've been studying that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 there. The things of the Spirit are the Word of God that's written down. The people who are spiritual, they think about and they subject themselves in obedience to the things that the Spirit of God says. The obstacle to that is someone who's thinking about and obeying the things of the flesh. So what happens is someone spends too much time thinking and dwelling on the flesh and giving into the flesh, and as a result, they walk after the flesh. And as long as that's happening, that's going to hinder spirituality. Something's got to change. It's going to start changing in your mind by you taking in God's Word and thinking about God's Word and obeying God's Word, choosing the walk of faith, and then you'll be walking after the Spirit. Come over to Galatians chapter 5. You just keep remembering this verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, to walk in the Spirit is to mind the things of the Spirit, think about it, obey it, follow it. That would be in the Spirit. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I guess if I pointed the right direction every time, it'd be clearer for you, wouldn't it? This was flesh, this was Spirit. So walking after the Spirit, if you're minding, obeying, and following, walking after the things of the Spirit, guess what you're not going to be doing? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You're not going to be obeying the things of the flesh. You're not going to be walking after the things of the flesh. So the choice is for you to start minding the things of the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, so that these things die off in life and the spiritual things start becoming a part of your life. And as a result of that, spirituality is going to be happening to you. Growth, transformation, as we're understanding how God's Word works in us. But the other thing is, the three things that I have concerning the flesh is the minding of the flesh, walking after the flesh, and then there's another part of this, it's actually sowing to the flesh. Look at chapter 6 of Galatians, in verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now you get the picture here of a farmer going out and farming. And, you know, there's just a principle here that's absolutely true. Whatever you're going to go out there and sow, you throw the seed out, the sower, that is sowing seed. What you throw out in that field, that's what's going to grow up. If you throw out seeds of flesh, what grows in your life? Fleshly things. You sow to the things of the Spirit, and the things that grow up are the things that are spiritual. But look how they're explained in verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now there's kind of a little bit of a change here that when you look at the words real close, he talks about whatever you sow in verse 7, that's what you're going to reap. But in verse 8, he actually talks about sowing to something. It's not just that you're throwing out seeds of flesh and reaping flesh. It's sowing to the flesh. Now, to sow to the flesh is actually like to cultivate the fleshly ground. And you're not just going to throw the fleshly seeds out, but you're going to cultivate the fleshly ground. And what is the fruit of the fleshly ground going to produce? Destruction, according to the verse. Flesh always leads to sin. sin leads always leads to the destruction and death. That's why it says if you live after the flesh, what's going to happen? You're going to die. You're going to die spiritually for sure in your service for God. That's how that's talking about. But you're also going to probably die physically if you stay in the things of the flesh. It's going to shorten your life. But there, flesh always brings destruction and death. If you're going to sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Now you need to get that because verse 7 said God's not mocked. You think that you're saved by the grace of God and not, okay, I'm saved, I'm on the way to heaven, I can't lose that, Tom preached that, I saw it in God's word. God is going to be faithful even if I'm not. And think now, okay, I'm going to go live a life of sin. You can do it. You won't enjoy one bit of it. It's going to bring nothing but misery, ruin, destruction to your life. If you believe anything from God's word, you ought to realize that. To think you can tamper with all the sinful activities that men in the flesh do, the world out there, whether it's the drinking or whether it's the gambling or the women chasing or the men chasing, all the promiscuity that the world goes after, you think you can go after all those things and it's not going to bring ruin to your life? It brings ruin to lost people's lives. And you, who have the Holy Spirit, you'll be more miserable than a lost person, I guarantee it, and I'll pray for it. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh, the fruit is corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, not just sowing spiritual seeds, but cultivating the spiritual life, he will of the Spirit. Now that's God's Spirit. God's Spirit is going to produce something in that man's life. What is it? Shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And you need to understand, that doesn't mean he'll gain eternal life in the future. That verse is talking about you right now, the way you live. If you live in the flesh, you sow to the flesh, you will right now reap corruption. Right now, you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit. The Spirit is in you. You're going to reap life everlasting. That's right now. You'll reap the life of Christ in you, producing fruit and life in you right now. Is Maurice okay? You okay though, Maurice? He's got a bad heart. I think you might need to take him out. He has a bad heart. Maurice, would you tell us if you need some help? You want to sit in the back so that... Yeah, when you have conditions, you don't know if it's a cough or something worse. So, all right. Let's move on to the next one. Okay, there's three obstacles to that hinder spirituality. Certainly the flesh, and we've seen enough of that and what it leads to. And it's everything contrary to God's will. The second obstacle is ignorance. Look it with me to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. The one thing that... I said second, I want 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The one thing that I've been saying from the beginning, and hopefully you're going to get it every time until it sinks into your mind, that spirituality has to do with the Word of God in your life. You can't be spiritual. Like, coming to church is real good, and it's an aid to spirituality. I mean, because you're in the Word, that's why it's an aid to it. If you were here and we're just having praise and worship and singing, you're not going to get the information that you need to have God's Word work in you. Now, if it's a scriptural song, maybe it'll stick in you, but the point is you need God's Word. And this, watch this stand out. We already know the Corinthians are carnal, right? Look at what Paul just says over and over again, and you realize why they're carnal. In chapter 6, he's talking about them taking each other to court. And then when he condemns them for that, there is condemnation, so he condemns them for that. But look at verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? You guys are taking each other to court, and Paul says, what? Don't you know we're going to judge angels? Well, how would you know that? I remember the first time I read that, I said, I didn't know that. I found out from that verse I'm going to be judging angels. But you know, if you don't know what God has revealed, then if you realize what he's saying there, especially if spirituality brings discernment to our life, and God, and you understand by taking in maybe a little bit more than the milk, getting into the meat of God's word, that God is going to use us to judge angels. Once you understand that, why would you then take another brother or sister to court, to a lost judge, to discern between what right and wrong is? But see, the problem is, they didn't know what they were supposed to be able to do. Ignorance is causing them to act the way that they're acting. Paul says, don't you know? And the reason he says that is they didn't know. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, if you're been declared righteous by God, then why are you acting unrighteous? Don't you know that the unrighteous, they don't have a part of God's kingdom? We do. And we've been washed. So the point is he goes back over the basic things about the gospel to remind them that they've been cleansed and they ought to think and act different than they are in this world. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Now why would a man fool around with adultery or whoredom if he realized that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If you understand that doctrine and realize that reality, that you cannot escape the presence of God, you can't take the Holy Spirit out and say, you just stay over here, I got some sinful activity I want to do over here. You can't do that. That when you go over there, God's Spirit is right there. You know, that's going to kind of change the way you go at things, isn't it? That's going to change that'll change the way you think about where you're going and specifically what you're going to do. When you realize he's right there and you're taking the members of Christ and making them members of a harlot. But see, they didn't know. They didn't stop and think about the doctrine of that. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For the two, said he, shall be one flesh. That act of sexual intimacy is what God says constitutes marriage. What are you doing over there with someone you don't even know, don't like, probably can't stand the smell of? I don't think that person's thinking, do you? No, they're thinking and minding the flesh, but if they think and mind the things of the Spirit, and why is it that they won't? Maybe they're ignorant and they didn't know their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. They didn't realize what that purpose is and how that's a beautiful consummation of marriage, of God making two people one. But if they don't know that, they're going to walk in ignorance, and then walking in ignorance is going to cause sinful lifestyle. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I can do what I want with my body. Isn't what all the pro-abortionists say? Woman has a right to do what she wants with her own body. Now, since when is that her body? I thought there was a creator that created her. And if she becomes a believer, she belongs to the Lord. And she needs to do with her body what God wants done with her body. But if that person doesn't know that, doesn't think that way, because they haven't studied the Bible, ignorance is going to cause them to do wrong. They're going to think they should live the way they want to live. So the second reason certainly is ignorance. But not just ignorance of the milk of God's word, because these things Paul's writing in Corinthians, they're the milk of God's word. But also deceived by doctrines of devils. Come over to 2 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul starts writing here and he says, Would to God that you bear with me in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I espouse you to one husband, that ye may that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Satan, just as he came and spoke lies to Eve to deceive her to walk in the flesh and disobey God, that hasn't ended yet. False doctrine. Okay, I'm not ignorant. I study God's Word. But if you're not studying the right Jesus, not Jesus according to the Messiah, to the nation of Israel, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ as the head of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that Paul preached. You could be deceived and you'll be doing things. There's two guys that got deceived in 2 Corinthians, and it's real important. 2 Corinthians 2:15, we stand on that verse here at Grace Bible Church. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We divide between what God was doing with Israel, what God will do with Israel, and what God's doing with the members of the body of Christ today and for eternity. That's different than what God was doing with Israel. Just a couple verses after that, he names two men that have overthrown the faith of some, declaring that the resurrection has taken place already. And you know what that is? That's an example of people who haven't rightly divided. They knew Christ was coming to establish a kingdom. The kingdom didn't come. Well, what happened? Well, maybe it really did come, and the resurrection has already taken place. And when they started teaching false doctrine, and the verses say it overthrew the faith of some. The passage ends, the chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, ends with the statement that is 2 Corinthians 2, yeah. That it ends with the statement that those that are taken captive by Satan at his will. My point to you is just being biblical isn't the key to spirituality. Being ignorant of God's Word certainly hinders spirituality, but being taught God's Word incorrectly, not rightly divided, will hinder your Christian walk. And it's really a tool of Satan that Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians, that Satan is out to beguile you using the Bible to do it. And so, ignorance of God's Word, and certainly not rightly dividing God's Word, doctrines of devils will entrap you and cause you not to be spiritual. Peter said it this way. Come to 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3. And you need to realize that Peter is explaining here that as he preached about Jesus Christ, who came to be the king of the nation of Israel and establish his kingdom on this earth forever, to sit on the throne of David as an everlasting kingdom and an everlasting throne that on this earth, and that hadn't happened, Peter is explaining in this chapter why it didn't happen. One of his explanations is in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The reason that the kingdom did not come is God is being long-suffering with mankind, because rather than damn and judge the world, he wants men to be saved. And he's given an opportunity for lost sinners to change their mind about salvation that's been offered to them, believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. So that's postponed because God's being long-suffering. Well, he tells you a little bit more about that. Look at verse 15. He says, "...an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Now, Peter is actually saying, not only is this an interruption of that kingdom, and this is the long-suffering of God, but if you want to know more about this long-suffering and this salvation, read Paul's epistles. Peter knows how to rightly divide. But look at the warning that he also gives. It talks about the wisdom given to Paul that's found in his epistles. It says in verse 16, "...as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to be understood. Now, if they're hard to be understood, they're more than just milk, aren't they? They're done. You got to chew on this meat. But be careful when you chew on the meat. Watch what he says. Which are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. Now, that means twist. People who come to Paul's epistles and don't know why Paul's epistles are so different than the other epistles, Peter makes them different. His epistles, other epistles, Peter makes them different. And those who come to Paul and don't understand what he's saying, rather than discerning and learning what he's saying, they twist Paul's scriptures. So they haven't got rid of them, did they? They just twist them, try to make them fit where they don't fit. And look what happens when they were scriptural. These are scriptural people. They took Paul's scripture, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do also the other scriptures to what? Their own destruction. Do you realize that if you don't rightly divide God's word, the scripture will destroy you? Man, that's scary. That's scary. That's telling you that not only do you need to get in God's Word and read God's Word, understand the milk of God's Word, you need to start understanding the meat of God's Word, and you better make sure you're not twisting and making God's Word say what you want it to say, but that you're letting your mind believe the things that God is saying and separating the things that are different so that you believe God, and rather than having Scriptures twisted to destruction, the opposite will take place. The Scriptures will be unfolded to establishment so that you can be fruitful in every good work. So two obstacles, hindrances to spirituality. The first is the flesh. The second is ignorance. And the third, next week we'll talk about, and that is, the third thing that we're going to talk about is the number one problem among those who already know how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. It's the number one reason that they could be considered carnal. Come back next week. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I pray that anyone here that doesn't know the gospel of Christ heard it at the beginning and hasn't left their mind yet, that the salvation for them is a free gift out of your love, paid by your Son who died on the cross and took care of their payment of sin, their debt of sin. And it's theirs if they'll just believe on Him unto everlasting life. Father, I pray the rest of us heard your word and we're not dull of hearing. And we'll make a difference on how we're going to spend our time through the week, either minding and walking after and sowing to. Hopefully, Father, we pray spiritual things and not twisting the Scriptures to our own destruction. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.